Our reading today is from Malachi, which, if it's been a while since your Bible Bowl days, go to Matthew and then turn backwards a page or two. It's the very end of the older book. Malachi 3, verses 1 through 4. This is what speaks of God's preparation for the coming of Christ. The prophet declares that God will send a messenger to clear the way, calling his people to readiness. This messenger is often associated with John the Baptist, who comes to refine and to purify, like a silversmith refining metal or a launderer washing clothes. The imagery is striking. It's intense. It reminds us that preparation for God's presence is a transformative process. It's not a surface cleaning. Malachi's words challenge us to reflect on our own readiness to receive the Lord. So as we journey through this holiday season, we are invited into this refining work to repent, to be purified, to trust in God's promise of renewal. It's a passage that assures us that God's work is ultimately restorative. It prepares us for deeper worship, for fuller participation in the kingdom. The word of the Lord from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, like washer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi, refine them like gold and silver, until they can present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. And then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. This is a familiar yet unfamiliar, powerful yet subtle message about preparation, transformation. Different preparation than we typically do this time of year. This is not decorating your house. This is about transforming and decorating something inside of you. There's this promise that God has here to send a messenger that prepares the way. A figure who will refine, who purifies his people. This imagery of refining fire and washer's soap is striking. Fire is used to remove impurities from silver and gold, specifically the fire we're talking about here. And the soap is applied to cleanse a fabric. Both of these processes are necessary for purifying, but neither is easy or gentle. Now, in the age of gentle cycles on washing machines, there is a gentle option for cleaning. If you can remember back to, or think back to seeing on TV, washboards or laundry racks, that was not gentle. There was no gentle cycle on a washboard. That was just being lazy. There was no gentle cycle. This is something that's difficult. This is something that scrapes away outer layers. These are necessary. These are intense. This is transforming. The challenge lies in what this purification represents. For the people of Israel, at the time of Malachi's declaring of these things, this is a call to examine their worship and their lives. Their offerings had become less quality. Tainted. Their hearts had become distant from God. This is a messenger who comes not to destroy, but to cleanse, to renew, ensuring that the worship that is offered to the Lord will once again be pure and pleasing. It's a call to renewal that also carries, I think, a sense of urgency. The day of the Lord's coming is described as sudden. The messenger's work must prepare the people to stand in his presence, to be ready. Malachi's words highlight this necessity of transformation, but not as a punishment. It's a means of restoring the covenant relationship between God and God's people, dusting things off, renewing some excitement. It's a passage, I think, that challenges us to consider the cost of being prepared for the Lord. It calls us to acknowledge the parts of our lives that need refining and to trust in God's purpose for this purification. Because the goal is restoration, a renewed people who are purified and ready to receive their God. And that need for purification, that need for preparation, it does resonate deeply with a bunch of people who have been saying that Jesus is coming back for the last 2,000 years. Perhaps we have something in common with Malachi's audience. Perhaps we have something to share in our lack of excitement or urgency or expectation. It's one thing to say that we believe that Jesus is coming back. It's another to think that you might actually live to see it. Perhaps, just maybe, we have somehow baked into this holiday recipe of Jesus' return some sort of delayed response. So we can proclaim the return of Jesus is coming. He's coming back one day. But we've baked into that expectation a lack of urgency. But not this day. We can sing songs about this Christmas day, but we always assume not this Christmas day. It's not going to be this year, and it's not going to be next year. And so we just kind of go on year after year, assuming we'll do the same things, but we don't need to be ready this time. We've grown, perhaps, complacent, comfortable. We just don't have that same built-in assumption that Malachi has that something is coming soon. Like the people of Israel, we are often content with surface-level righteousness. But these deeper impurities can remain a little longer because we can handle it later. Our lives, our communities, our systems, they reflect this brokenness that we try to ignore, but it shouldn't be ignored. To take Malachi's metaphor and bring it into the 21st century would be something miserable for all of you, and I'm going to do it, and you're all going to hate it, but it's going to work. You ready? Malachi says that this coming of the Lord will be like laundry detergent. Okay, that's fine. But what he really means is the coming of the Lord is going to mean that you might want to do something about that pile of laundry that you washed and dried but haven't put away. And that is a universal constant. And you can all look down at your shoes or try to shrug it off. But you've been so busy with cooking and decorating and Christmas, and I know that I have laundry piles in my house, and you have laundry piles in your house, and you can hide them, but that's not what Malachi is saying. The coming of the Lord really does mean you finally get around to putting away the laundry. Okay? That's what this means. Those things that you're holding on to spiritually that you think you can just handle tomorrow, because the laundry pile will be there tomorrow, you can't keep ignoring. The injustices of this world cannot be ignored like a laundry pile, out of sight, out of mind. They persist in countless forms, whether that's an economic inequality, whether it's which war we're waging this week, whether it's corruption or exploitation. These realities reveal the impurities in our collective humanity that we've tried to shove into a closet like a pile of laundry we don't want to deal with. And we all know the truth of that pile of laundry is what? The longer you don't deal with it, the bigger it gets. Malachi says it's time to deal with the pile of laundry. You cannot ignore this anymore. Something's happening. Something's coming. Your guests are going to find the closet with the laundry in it. You have to put it away. At the very least, the one-year-old crawling all over your house is going to find the pile of laundry, and you need to put it away. Even in our personal lives, we can't resist this refining work anymore. We cannot continue to prefer comfort to the vulnerability of transformation. We have to face it. We could avoid facing these habits. We can choose to ignore our own attitudes or our own relationships that might require repentance and renewal. We can try to ignore it, but not really, not truthfully. So John the Baptist comes on the scene a few pages later, calling for repentance in Luke 3, 1 through 6, echoing the same challenge. He prepares the way of the Lord by urging people to turn from their sins, to align their lives with God's coming kingdom. His voice reminds us that this true restoration can't happen without honest self-examination and change. The first step in putting up the laundry pile is to acknowledge it still exists. You have to acknowledge it. You have to deal with it. But that transformation feels daunting, doesn't it? The refining fire of God's grace exposes the things that we would rather keep hidden. It's just what it's meant to do. And the process of being made new can seem overwhelming. And as our world is full of these piles of laundry, metaphorically, all over the place, we are filled with the resistance to change because it's so daunting. The call to prepare for God's coming can feel like that giant, unwinnable, uphill battle. But the promise of Malachi, the challenge, is clear. It's only through refining and purifying that we can become the people that God created us to be. It's only by facing those things can we be ready to receive the fullness of restoration. And in the midst of all that challenge, that dauntingness, that intimidation, the promise that God has here shines brightly. The messenger, though bringing a refining fire and a laundry detergent, comes as part of God's plan to restore and to renew. If you can look past the daunting pile of laundry, you can see the floor underneath it. This refining process is not a punishment. It's an act of grace. It's a way for God to draw his people back into covenant, back into relationship, to move the clutter and to make room for something better. Malachi's imagery reminds us that God's work is purposeful, transformative. Just as a silversmith carefully removes and refines metals from their impurities until it reflects their image, God works in us to remove impurities so that we can reflect God's righteousness, God's glory. The result of this refining is not destruction, it's renewal. To become a people who are ready to offer worship that is pure and pleasing to the Lord, not something that is just rote and writ. This grace, I think, is fully realized in Christ, the ultimate messenger, the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise. Because in Christ, that refining work takes on a deeply personal dimension. It is through his life, his death, his resurrection, that Jesus not only purifies, but redeems us, ensuring that we are able to stand in God's presence, blameless, renewed, with the promise that that pile of laundry that you try to hide deep inside could never return. Luke 1, 68 through 79, Mary's song celebrates this fulfillment, praising God for raising up a Savior who will guide us into the way of peace. This Savior does not abandon us to the refining process, but walks with us, empowering us by his Spirit to be transformed. This refining fire of God's, at its heart, is an act of love. Though painful, it purifies us to participate in his kingdom, to enjoy this restored relationship with him. The refining work described in Malachi is not something that just happened once a long time ago. This really is something active in this world today, on this Christmas day. Through Christ, God continues to purify his people, preparing us for the fullness of the kingdom. And though it's both a challenge and a gift, it's a process through which we are transformed to reflect God's righteousness and love more fully in our lives and into the world around us. John the Baptist's call to repentance reminds us that preparation is not passive. God has invited us to participate in this work of renewal. You are not just being renewed, you are doing renewing around you, clearing the paths in our hearts and in our lives and in our world so his restoration can take root. Because repentance is not merely about turning from sin, it's about turning toward God. You can turn away from sin, but if you don't turn toward the glory of God, you're only halfway done. To align our lives with God and his purposes is to have repentance to the fullest. It might be easier to preach and to proclaim repentance as getting rid of bad things, but that's just half of the story. Repentance is getting away from bad things, but then refilling with the good, with the wonderful, with the glorious, with the divine. So in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 11, we've already read this. Paul's prayer, it encourages us with the assurance that God, who began a good work in us, will bring it to completion. It's not done yet, but it's in process. You are in process. This work is grounded in love, and it results in a life that is filled with the fruit of righteousness. As you are being refined, you are also equipped to embody God's justice, God's mercy, to become agents of God's restoration in the world. As you are being restored, you are out restoring the world around you. This holiday season invites us into this process of preparation and hope. We wait not with fear, but with anticipation. We trust that God's refining fire will lead to renewal, not destruction. And if we can figure out how to embrace that transformative work, if we can find the courage to look at the laundry pile and do something about it, we become part of God's unfolding plan in the world. We become witnesses to God's grace, preparing the way for others to encounter the fullness of his kingdom as we tell each other, look, I put away my laundry, I believe you could do it too. And that might seem impossible. And again, yes, put away your laundry, but I really am talking about something on the inside, something about the clutter that we have internally, the things that we use to distract ourselves from what God is trying to do in our lives. We have to clean those things up. And as we approach the Lord's table, we are reminded of the grace that sustains us in God's refining work. In Malachi, we see God's promise to purify the people, preparing them to offer lives that reflect righteousness. Through Christ, that promise is fulfilled, and we are invited into a covenant of grace that cleanses, restores us. This bread, this cup, it symbolizes the ultimate act of love. A sacrifice that not only redeems us, but also empowers us to live as people transformed by his grace. And as we partake in that, we acknowledge our need for God's constant refining, trusting in God's mercy to continue the good work that has begun in us. This meal, it is a foretaste of the kingdom to come, where all will be made new. So let us come to this table with grateful hearts, prepared to receive his grace anew, facing the things that we clutter ourselves with, emptying ourselves of the things we no longer need, and becoming ready to be filled with the goodness of God this day and every day. Let's stand and sing.